How do you spell badass liberal talk? BCR, Bart Cop Radio.
With the lights out, it's less dangerous. Here we are now. Entertain us. I feel stupid. Contagious. Here we are now. Entertain us. I'm a lotto. An albino. A mosquito. My libido.
Here's one for the Don't You Have Anything Else to Do department. Headline, the money section, USA Today. Live 8 coverage sparks decency complaint. Now, the way the headline is written, one person complained. Now, if they were smarter, if they knew how to do their jobs, if they were professionals, if they were journalists, they probably should have read decency complaints. But no, they said there was a complaint. So let's look at the complaint. A parents group Thursday accused ABC of violating broadcast decency. A parents group Thursday accused ABC of violating broadcast decency standards when it failed to censor all profanity uttered during the Live 8 concert held July 2 to draw attention to the poverty of poor countries. Say, number one, screw those dying dark people. We don't care. America's a white country. America's a white Christian. La-di-da. Rich nation. La-di-da. We don't care about the starving darkies. That's number one. Anything is more important than the starving darkies, and we're about to explain. The Parents Television Council asked the FCC to levy a fine on ABC stations for failing to censor The Who when their tape-delayed performance of Who Are You contained an expletive. If you're familiar with the song, they say, who are you, 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 who are, who are, who are, who are you, who are you, who are you, who are you, who are, who are, who are, who are you, who are you, who are you, who are you, who the fuck are you? Now that's how the song goes. And so these midgets, these mental midget hand jobs, religious crazies, all they have to do is sit around. I'll tell you what they do. This Brent Bozell and people like him, this Donald Wildman and they always got the Parents Television Council, the American Safety Family League. You know, they got all these hand jobs names. But what they do, they must have, okay, first they get donations from the religiously insane and the rich, and they're often the same. Then they go out and they buy a few hundred either VCRs, or by now I guess they put them on chips, they put them on computer as files, but they record everything on all 790 channels. They record everything. And if somebody thinks they might have heard an F-word slip in there somewhere, if you listen close enough, you're going to hear it. And so someone heard that. So the gaps went around the world. Someone heard the F-word. Screw them starving darkies. We got something important going on now. The idea that an aging rock band would use the F-word, we are all shocked. You know, another thing, when Pink Floyd played Money, they used the word bullshit. Oh my God, how many ears peeled off of the little children that day? How many hundreds of thousands of children will be warped forever because they heard the word bullshit on a Pink Floyd song that they wrote about 1971? So a 34-year-old song had the S-word in. Ooh, not the S-word. And so children were harmed worldwide by the callous indifference, the depraved indifference of the Pink Floyd and the Who has caused so much damage. And screw those starving darkies. We just don't care. If 100,000 of them die, that's okay. If 250,000 of them die, that's okay. If 500,000 of them die, that's okay. If 1,000,000 of them die, that's okay. If 5,000,000 die, that's okay. If 10,000,000 die, it's okay. But we don't want to hear the word bullshit. We don't want to hear that one more time. And if the Who says, who the fuck are you? We are outraged. We don't care how many millions of darkies die. We are outraged at the F word. It's a word that everyone in the country has heard. It's a word that everyone in the country, I'll bet you, have used. I'll bet you nuns have used it. I'll bet you priests have used it. I'll bet you, we know the bush monkey, he said, fuck Saddam, we're taking him out. It's a word people use. Everybody uses this word, and these religious hand jobs, this more pious than you, this, oh, we got to get so stupid. We got to pretend there's some perfectionist goal that must be reached, that somehow, if the F word is uttered, again, screw them dying darkies. Screw a million of them, 5 million, 10 million. The F word is important. That's where we got to put our money. The S word is important. That's what we got to stop. It doesn't matter about the dying children. The S word must be stopped. And so that's what these people, that's all they got to do. This is the Republican Party taking advantage of the religiously insane. I'm sick of it, aren't you?
Hershey.
It's just one of five classics you can choose from, and they're all free with 15 proofs of purchase, shipping, and handling.
Tom's Hershey is the great American chocolate bar.
Go to Hershey's.com for complete details.
Letter to the editor, U.S. Whore Today, under the giant headline, Stand Behind British Allies, Bring Justice, which is a Pollyanna, pie in the sky, I'm a dumbass headline, but we're dealing with the public, okay? Letter number one, the terrorist attack in London targeted the underground and bus transportation system should be a stark reminder of 9/11. Well, duh. Do you think anyone can make that leap? What an idiot. Who is this idiot? John Jacobs of Memphis. John, Christ, you are stupid. Oh, you think we can somehow make the leap from the terrorist attack in London to the terrorist attack? Are you sure, dude? Blood pressure about 300 over 200. The global war on terrorism is being waged against enemies who will kill civilians and disrupt the daily routine of freedom-loving people worldwide. Now, I wonder if that sentence could be turned around. The war in Iraq is being waged against enemies who will kill civilians. I wonder if George Bush has killed any civilians. I wonder if George Bush has disrupted the daily routine of any of the freedom-loving people in Iraq. Do you think George Bush has done that? No, because he's so different from Al-Qaeda. As Americans, we must stand behind our British allies and bring to justice those who committed these atrocious acts. He said like he was auditioning for the preacher in Blazing Saddles, this John Jacobs monkey. Well, guess what, John? The people that did that are dead. Did you see the picture of that one guy? He put on his back what looked to me to be 60 pounds, maybe, of explosives. Did you see that bus? Did you see? The blast not only tore the bus apart, but it moved SUVs off the street onto the sidewalk. What a powerful, powerful blast. I didn't see the underground ones. I just saw the one on the bus. But the idea that we're going to go catch this guy? Yeah, I'm sure. We can collect pieces, maybe. Idiots. I mean, yes, we all want to punish those responsible. But what idiot writes this idiot letter? And what idiot paper prints this idiot letter? It's just so stupid. It's like we're all in third grade, and maybe it's because I'm old, but, you know, a letter like this is just so useless. It says, I mean, it puts the O in obvious. Before I picked up this paper, I could have read that letter. So stupid. Letter number two, tighten borders. Are there any more doubts about those behind the terrorist attack in London? Well, yeah, I have a question. Who did it? Was it Bush? Was it Blair? Was it the BFEE? Was it Osama, Bush's partner? Was it al-Zarqawi, Bush's partner? Number one, they're not soldiers, given that they don't fight those who can fight back. Yeah, like when Bush dropped the mother of all bombs on Baghdad, those people that got blown up, like they could fight back. Iraq is a backwards country, and they're fighting the world's only superpower with unlimited money. So yeah, they can't fight back. Number two, they are not good or religious men. Oh, like our president? Like the man who holds the Western Hemisphere record for the most murders? He's a good and religious man. Oh, that's right. He's godly Bush. Because they murder innocent people and hide behind their ghoulish beliefs after they slaughter the innocent. Now, is he talking about Bush or Osama? Number three, they are, however, cowards and animals and should be treated as such. Let's see, cowards and animals. What would you call a guy who ordered the mother of all bombs dropped on a city of 5 million people while he was surrounded by the number one defensive secret service force in the entire planet? Maybe the Israelis got a tighter one, but as far as I know, the secret service is who I would want to protect me. So Bush has got, what, tens of millions or maybe $100 million worth of security around him 24/7 at all times with his emergency shelters and his emergency systems and helicopters and all the systems on Air Force One and all the five times redundant systems. He's got all that. Now, who is the coward? The crazy man living in a cave or the crazy man living in the White House waging war against a backwards, helpless country so he can steal their oil and look like a hero to the monkeys who almost elected him? When will the United States, Great Britain, and other allies finally wake up to what these terrorists will do and understand that you cannot reason with sick religious fanatics? Again, is this an argument for Bush or Osama? As long as we allow free access to our countries, this sort of thing can happen anytime. It is time we rethink who we allow into our countries, Jeffrey Scott. Well, Jeff, that last sentence has a little bit of credibility to it, but it's estimated that there are 10,000... Saw this in Time magazine. They estimate between 10 and 15,000 Al-Qaeda sympathizers are in England, either England or London, right now. Now, considering it took four people to blow up England on 7/7, and extrapolating, let's use a median figure of 12,000, they said between 10 and 15, so let's say 12,000, that means they only have 3,000 more July 7th to go through. In London, only 3,000 more attacks, and that's assuming they pick up no new recruits, which are leaps and bounds every day because of Bush and Blair's idiotic war in Iraq, the biggest recruiting center in the history of terrorism, that 10,000 could turn to 50 in 2 years. So they're going to have to put up with another 4,000 attacks, extrapolating probabilities, and that's without any new recruits. That's what you get for listening to the barbaric monkey who had to invade some country to look good because you can't be a great president unless you're a war president. Oh, God, give me strength. Number three, show vigilance. Strength. Should there be any lingering doubt, the horrific bombings in London remind us that fascists will not hesitate to strike civilian targets in order to send their message and attempt to reverse the rising tide of democracy in the Middle East. Put another way, is there any doubt that the horrific bombings in Baghdad remind us that Americans will not hesitate to strike civilian targets in order to send their democracy and attempt to reverse the rising tide of Islam in the Middle East? You're either a powerful agent using senseless violence to murder the civilians, or you're not. These people sense they're losing in their desperate attempt to stop the advance of democracy in the Middle East, which will spell their death knell, says this idiot. What the hell does that mean? Every time they blow themselves up, it's more proof that they're losing, and it spells their death knell, which is... it's like a thing you would read in the 60s comic books. Lex Luthor's death knell for Superman. Who the fuck uses a phrase like death knell? K-N-E-L-L. You don't even see that word anywhere. But these pious monkeys, they decide they're going to write a letter to the USA Today. They immediately think like John Kerry. They immediately hire a speechwriter to come up with some words that nobody ever uses to make a profound point. Good thinking, Sparky. Now is the time to redouble our efforts. No, we should have redoubled them on September 12th. We must not show weakness. We must not withdraw. And we certainly should not retreat to whining and appeasement. Because whining and appeasement only bring peace. And we got to have war to show how big our cock is. And now is certainly not the time to soften the reach of the Patriot Act. Americans should be vigilant. We have many soft targets, says Mike Crouch of Carolina. Jesus, Mike, what do you want to bet? I'll buy you a tall boy Michelob, if they make such a thing. And by the time you get done drinking it, I'll make you a Democrat if you agree to answer 10 questions, yes or no. Last letter on this page, find Osama. Tragically, this latest terrorist attack in London should remind us all here in this country, that would be America, that we should have concentrated our efforts on capturing Osama instead of using our resources to go to war with Iraq, a country that many now believe had nothing to do. Oh, now they believe it. Even the smart people are stupid. People that many now believe had nothing to do with these serious attacks, a lesson learned too late, says Gene Henley of Rockville. Oh, I'll tell you what. Nothing makes me feel like I have an IQ of 250 like reading the USA Today. I lied about being that last letter. We got at least two more, maybe a third one. This goes back into something that is somewhere else in this issue. Activists, not centrists. I do not consider the judicial record of Sandra Day O'Connor to be centrist, as USA Today contends in their analysis. O'Connor was a swing vote on many issues decided by the Supreme Court. Unfortunately for the country, many of her decisions were based on judicial activism and not on proper interpretation of the Constitution. Now, what the hell does that mean? That means nothing. Let's assume for a second that Sandra Day O'Connor is qualified. She was a judge. She was a governor. She was like a party chairman. She was something else. Then they made her Supreme Court judge. Let's assume for a second she knows something about the law. Now, that doesn't really mean she does, because Clarence Thomas is on the same court. But the idea that when she rules a certain way, it's proof that it was not a proper interpretation of the Constitution. It was judicial activism that made her rule that way. Well, who is to say? It's like some umpire calls the guy first base out. He didn't call him out because of a strict interpretation of the rules of baseball. No, he called him out because of his judicial activism. Well, no, he's either safe or out. He called it like he saw it. Her positions on abortion, affirmative action, and the display of the Ten Commandments were not based on constitutional law, but on ideology. This wacky claim, it keeps coming up again and again. And the Democrats don't have the brains or the courage to say, define your terms. Explain yourself. What the hell are you talking about? Make some sense. If you make a cogent argument, I might be able to reply to it or give you an answer. But as long as you keep spouting, no, that's judicial activism. That's not proper interpretation of the Constitution. Nobody can fight that because there's nothing there. You got to have a there before you can kill it or shoot it down. Many Americans are growing weary of judges who legislate from the bench. Now, again, the same thing over and over. He has no idea what he's saying. He heard Rush say it. He heard Tom DeLay say it. He heard the unelected monkey say it, so he's going to repeat it. These judges seem to feel that their personal beliefs are more important than the Constitution. Well, I'd say that was right when they were talking about Gore versus Bush. They said, well, if we count those Florida ballots, it might cause permanent harm to Petitioner Bush. So therefore, we will not count the ballots. We will not ask the voters what they wanted. We will decide for them. That is what you call judicial activism, not applying the Constitution. But they like to look past that one because they put their monkey in charge. I'm looking forward to President Bush appointing a strict constitutionalist who will not allow personal bias to conflict with a proper interpretation of the Constitution, says Jim Stone, a monkey from Park City, Utah. Jim, if you were here, I would just slap you. I wouldn't try to argue with you. I would just slap you. Public wants conservative. I don't get it. The American people have elected a Republican president, a Republican Senate, a Republican House of Representatives. The solid majority, objection to the misuse, no foundation for solid majority, of this nation has expressed itself at the ballot box in a convincing fashion, objection to convincing. 51-49, assuming the Diebold machines weren't fixed, I lie, is not convincing. Why will there be a fight over the Supreme Court nominee? The ideological left has determined that, even though it has been defeated at every turn, its right to rule is contested. No, the ideological left has chosen not to fight. They have chosen to let Diebold and the Republicans decide the elections. Jesus, the 2004 election was decided by Ohio. The Secretary of State of Ohio was Bush's campaign manager of Ohio. The 2000 election was decided in Florida. The Secretary of State for Florida was Bush's campaign manager for the state of Florida. Now, this is not rocket science. How in the hell do they let the guy choose? You know, it's like after a boxing match, let's ask the manager of one of the fighters who he thought won. Yeah, let's ask the training director for one of the fighters who he thought won. And we'll go with whatever he said. Don't ask that guy, no, ask this guy over here. That's craziness. Americans have spoken, and they desire a conservative president, a conservative Congress, and a conservative Supreme Court. Are liberals naive, or are they so desperate to have their own way that they will tread over the will of the people to get it? Stan May, diddle monkey. Oh, this son of a bitch is a PhD. Stan May, doctor, Germantown, Tennessee. Germantown, Tennessee, Stan May, PhD, you are a monkey. The idea, talk about the tread over the will of the people. Guess who won the popular vote in 2000? The will of the people was clearly for Gore. Even the Republicans admit Gore won the popular vote. So what did the Supreme Court do? They took away the will of the people. You are a crazy man, Stan. Now get out of here.
If we stop to gaze upon a star, people talk about how bad we are. Without
We're going to have to pick up the pace a little bit. Here's a headline. Another vacationer collapses. Oh, that's it. Another vacationer collapses. Second incident on Disney World ride in a month. The second young vacationer month to collapse after a ride at Walt Disney World theme park. Don't you hate that, Walt Disney World theme park? We know it's a theme park. If you're reading this and you don't know what Walt Disney World is, then, you know, go buy a computer and look it up. Don't you hate that? President George W. Bush, the president of the United States, you know, the vice president, Richard M. Cheney, well, no, he's Dick, okay? Leanne Deacon, 16, of England, complained of feeling dizzy. Bottom line, a kid died at Disney World, probably either in June or July, because he was on some ride, and they're doing autopsy, trying to figure out what the hell's wrong with the kid. Now, a couple weeks later, a second kid went down. His or her heart stopped on the way to the hospital, but they got it beaten again. Last I heard, he or she was in fair condition. Might be this Leanne Dixon, Deacon, something, 16, of England. In Florida, all right, this is about states' rights, and states' rights are stupid. States' rights are useless. States' rights are manipulated by the people in the state to screw people, to steal money, to be held unaccountable. Now, in Florida, this is boggling, but in Florida, they have no standards for rides. Now, this is the way I understand it. In Florida, they have no commission to oversee safety at amusement parks. They just don't. In many other states, in Oklahoma they do, before you open your roller coaster, you have to have someone from the state come over and certify that the roller coaster is safe, or at least reasonably safe. I guess nothing's going to save you if you open the gate at the top of the deal and goof around like a monkey. Yeah, you're probably going to die, but you would think that there would be some standard, some federal standard, but no. There are 50 sets of rules for roller coasters in this country. That is idiotic. It kills people. It's stupid. And it's the Republicans, probably, that are keeping that alive. They always accuse the liberals of wanting big government. Well, yeah, we would like a standard, which I hate, for a doctor from Louisiana to have just some of the training he needs, you know, and then he moves to New York and he's operating on people. And, we need a standard around the country. Same for medicine, same for health, same for, you know what, if you build a car in Mississippi, it doesn't have to have safety features, but if you build one in Detroit, it does. See, no, that's stupid. States' rights are stupid, they're crazy, they kill, they're all wrong. In Florida, there is no standard for ride safety. But Disney, they got in trouble. They've got a dead kid and a kid that died and who they brought back. And so what Disney has done, they've graciously allowed a representative from the state of Florida to come oversee, to be a witness to their investigation in an attempt to prove to people that they're doing all they could. But Tally Briggs, now I don't want to speak for her because I make a lot of mistakes, but Tally used to be Snow White at the Walt Disney World. No, just kidding. She hates when I say that. Every time I say that, she slaps me if we're together. I always accuse her of being Snow White, but no, she was a teamster. She was she was the business head of it. She's got a brain, and she ran a department or something. Anyway, she knows a little bit about Disney. And she said, these are all my numbers, from like 100 inspectors down to like 2. So instead of inspecting every ride every day, they inspect rides when they get around to it. And if I get busy today, I'll do it next week. And if I get busy next week, it'll get done sometime probably. That's how they do things in Florida. I think that's a bad deal. We were on some vacation because I read this when we were out of town. They have a roller coaster in Tulsa. It's called the Zingo. It's not a super duper. It's an old, probably from the 50s or 60s. It's a wooden roller coaster. None of this super loop-de-loop, 100 miles an hour business. It's just a regular old wooden roller coaster. And some kids, one or two kids died on a roller coaster. They had some kind of mistake. So yeah, the state got involved, you know. I mean, and they should. If you're going to sue the roller coaster company, if you're going to sue the amusement park, it'd be nice to have some kind of standard that you reach. I mean, come on. Like I said, if a kid gets on a Ferris wheel, and when you're up at the top, you start rocking real fast, goofing around and trying to reach someone in the other car, you might likely fall off that, and that is not the fault of the amusement park, unless they fail to tell you, hey, asshole, knock it off, if they did it a couple of times. But in Florida, they don't do that. In Florida, you can do what you want. I think that's a shame. Jeb Bush could fix that, but he's for less government. He wants fewer restrictions on roller coaster safety. That would scare me. I would let my kid get on a Democratic roller coaster, but I wouldn't let him on a Republican roller coaster because the Republicans want the safety inspectors off the backs of the people who are trying to make money. Think about Jaws. Remember the original Jaws? We got a shark in the water. It's eating people. And the mayor says, oh, we can't let that out. It'll be bad for tourism if people think there's a shark eating people. So they didn't issue the alert the way I remember it. And the shark ate some more people. See, the Democrats would shut it down and save some lives. The Republicans say, no, no, the Democrats are always trying to interfere with a man's right to make some money. Big difference between Democrats and Republicans. It would be nice if the Democrats could demonstrate to people why they should be voted for, but they can't figure it out.
She looked over at me with a glazed eye and some bovine perspiration on her upper lip area, and she said these words, and I quote, just get me wasted and you're halfway there. Cause if my mind's tore up, then my body don't care. I rubbed my chinny chin chin and said, my, 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 what sort of thing might this lady get high upon? The $40 bill did not matter no more. When her sister got naked and laid on the floor, she said, Dynamo might win the bet, but she could use a little if I wasn't done yet. I told her, just because the sun's got a place in the sky, no reason to assume I wouldn't give her a try.
A couple of letters to the editor, all from the USA Today. Number one, support president to stay in the fight. No one likes war. What an idiot. Look at your commander in chief. He didn't fall into this war. He didn't have war thrust upon him. He thought he'd enjoy himself a little war. He told people in 1999, you can't be a great president unless you're a war president. The monkey was always looking for this. You get assholes like Rush always talking about, oh, Clinton was obsessed with his legacy. Yeah, the idiot tried to help people. Never lost a soldier he sent into battle. He fixed the Reagan-Bush error with the economy. He turned America from a hellhole into a paradise. And he's so worried about his legacy. But you get a monkey like Bush. He tells people 2 years before he takes office, oh, to be a good president, you got to have a war, got to have a war. And so when he get hit on 9/11, which he probably knew about anyway, he thought, oh, now is my chance. We're going to war. It's going to be good. I got to get to kill some people. I'll blow some shit up. Then I can put on a big old stuff, a sock thing down my pants and fly onto a carrier and say, job well done. And I'll dress up like a soldier, even though I went AWOL when I had a chance to be a soldier. Yeah, that's what we got. Okay, nobody likes war. No one likes war or wartime statistics, but I support our president fully in his determination to stay the wrong course, I put in the word wrong, and achieve the goals he defined for Iraq. We are so blessed to live in a country where dissenting views are not only allowed, but also encouraged. Well, hold on. I bet you could ask Alice McCabe and Christine Nelson how great it is to live in a country where dissent is encouraged. These were the two women that were strip-searched by the Secret Service because they dared not bow down fast enough to godly Emperor Bush. Just shows you, a little education will turn a Republican into a Democrat faster than you believe. We're so blessed to live in a country where dissenting views are not only allowed but encouraged. I can't think of any more justified foreign policy than to export that freedom when we can see it. John Etchison, Milwaukee. Well, yeah, John, I think you go ask that Iraqi fellow the nickname Sparky about how great it is when America goes to Iraq to export that kind of freedom. Please. Timeline undercuts the truce. One can only hope that our growing public discontent with the Bush administration does not result in an artificial timeline to bring home the troops. It is not a feasible option. Our troops need our support while in harm's way. Yes, the Iraq invasion may have resulted from a rush to judgment with no contingency plans for the aftermath, but as the bloodletting in Iraq continues to escalate, one can only pray for the security of our brave troops and the civil war is not the outcome. Regardless of how barbaric Saddam Hussein was, the realization is that depending civil war among Iraq's various factions and religions would result in further instability in the region and would further compromise the national security of the United States, says Tom Banks of Carolina. Well, guess what, Tom? The situation was already handled. We had a political strongman in charge of that area. How many car bombings did Baghdad have in the last year that Saddam was in charge? I'll bet the number is zero. Now we have, what, a dozen a day, 25 a day, 50 a week, 100 a week? I think they said 70 or 80 a week. So that's, what, 10 car bombs a day? That's what Bush brought to Iraq. 10 car bombs a day. Oh, I bet they just love us in Iraq. Here's one. Time has run out. The actions of this administration or military are ruining the already damaged image of the United States in the eyes of the rest of the world. This war and this president are morally bankrupt. President Bush either needs to implement a definite exit strategy or he needs to resign, says John Fitch of Kentucky. Well, A, how did that letter get into USA Today? They generally don't allow criticism of godly Bush in the USA Today. But if... Hold on. Yeah. Hello. Okay, now we're going to talk about this. That was a computer calling to collect money from me for Mindspring, the dial-up people. Now, here's the name of that tune. And I'm glad it came up because I'm going to ask you a question. I'm kind of hoping you're going to say no, but I kind of have the feeling you're going to say yes. But here's what happened. Years ago, I was paying for 4 dial-up accounts with Mindspring. One for me, one for Christian Livmore, my former chief of staff, one for Julie Steele, one for a friend of mine. As things changed, I wanted to stop paying for 4 accounts and just pay for 1. I called them and said, that's what I'd like to do. I want to kill those accounts and just keep the BartCop@Mindspring.com account. And they said, we don't know how to do that. And I said, well, you bill me every month for it. You ought to be able to figure out how to do that. And they said, no, we're not that smart. So I said, well, no, you need to cut those other 3 off. And they said, no, we don't know how to do that. So I turned off my credit card. By God, I can figure out a way to stop them if they can't. So I shut off my credit card. So then they kept calling me, when are you going to pay your bill? And I said, what bill? And they said, the one you owe. And I said, no, wait, which account is it on? And they said, we don't know. And I said, well, how in the hell are you trying to collect from me a bill that you can't identify? What kind of idiot, bullshit kind of business practice is that? How stupid is Mindspring? You're trying to collect a bill when you can't give me an invoice number? You can't give me a sign-on name? You can't give me even a phone number? You can't give me a credit card number? You can't give me any? They said, no, but you owe the money. I said, nah, I ain't going to pay it. If you can't identify it, I'm not going to pay it. So that's where we are. This has been a year and a half, 2 years ago. They call Casa de Bart constantly. It's not a person. It's a computer. And they're saying, hi, this is Sean Lee. I need to talk to you right away. Please call this 800 number. And when you call, they say, hi, this is Mindspring. And I said, this is Bart. And they say, well, hey, Bart, you need to pay your bill. And I said, which bill is that? And they say, well, we don't know. And I said, well, hey, blow me. If you don't know what bill I'm supposed to pay, how dare you demand that I pay that? And so they say, well, we won't call anymore. So then they call the next fucking day. And I'm tired of it. It's been a couple years. They call a couple of times a day. So I have a plan. This is where I'm hoping you'll say no, but I'm thinking you're going to say yes. What I want to do is I'm going to turn the microphone on, I'm going to dial Mindspring's number, and I'm going to be the most vile son of a bitch they have ever talked to in their lives. The first lady, oh, I pity the fool, but the first lady that picks up the phone, I am going to use the C word, I am going to use the CS word, I am going to use the F word, I'm going to use every goddamn bad word I can think of. I'm probably going to write a bunch of them down on my computer screen in case I just get flustered and can't remember another horrible, horrible, atrocious thing to say to a woman. I plan to be the most obnoxious son of a bitch they have ever talked to in the history of Mindspring.com. And the only reason I want to do that is because I can think of no other way to get them to stop. Every time I've called them 6, 8, 10 times, every time they say, oh, just pay your bill and it'll be over with. Hey, blow me. If you can't figure out what bill I owe, I'm not paying it. If you can come up with a bill, I probably won't pay it anyway. But it's like $40. You know, I've got $40. But I'm determined not to let them win this one. They can't identify. All they know is I owe them the money. And I choose not to let them get away with it. A lot of times, you know, it's just $40, fine, you pay it, you get out of your hair. This one, I just choose not to let go. And they refuse to quit calling me. It's free. They don't have to pay for someone to call me. They just turn the computer on. They just put my phone number in the computer and say, harass Bart. So I'm going to turn the harassment hose back on them. I'm going to use words that many of you have not ever heard. If you're any kind of decent woman, you've never heard these kinds of words before. But I plan to use them like a machine gun. I intend to make the woman on the other end of the phone say, my God, what have I got on the other end of this phone? I expect there to be 10 or 15 stars and a bunch of notes behind my name. They say, when this Bart fella calls, my God, look out. You're not going to believe the shit he says. I mean, the C word is going to be the very, very least of their troubles. I plan to use language that is so... You listen to Rush Limbaugh. He uses the most vile and despicable and horrible, atrocious language without ever saying the seven words that George Carlin talks about. You know, you can talk about Bill Clinton raping Hillary and that's how Chelsea showed up. I mean, what a horrible thing to say, but that's not technically, that's something you can say on the radio and on the TV. Well, because anything bad you say about Clinton is legal. And number two, if you don't use the F word or the C word or the, you know, you can get away with anything. But I plan to combine the two. I am going to be the most horrific and possibly rude and irreversibly corruptible caveman that they have ever heard in their entire lives. And what is my purpose? To get a jolly out of it? No. To get a bit for the radio show? Maybe. But the primary point, I want them to stop calling my damn house. And if you can think of another way to make this happen, fine. But they can't think of another way, and I can't think of another way, so I plan to become a giant nightmare for them. I plan to become just the worst news they've ever heard. The poor man or woman who picks up that phone, they're going to think, my God, what did I do to deserve this? I plan to put the hammer on them like nobody on the planet has ever had the hammer put on them. I'm probably going to get a couple of drinks from me when I do it. I'm going to be just as rude and vile. I'm going to be the most hateful thing that ever walked the earth. And I'm going to do this again and again and again until they stop calling me, unless you, the listener, tell me not to. If you think I should or shouldn't, send me an email. Send it to BartCop@BartCop.com and say either do it or don't do it. If you have an opinion, if you say, Bart, that's not worthy of you, you're too big a man for that, you know, you can say that if you want. If you say, yeah, Bart, that'd be fun to hear, then look out, because if the, yeah, that'd be fun to hear, if they win this argument, I'm going to put it in a radio show. And it's going to be like nothing you've ever heard before. I mean, you may have think you've heard some vile, disgusting, disturbing languages before. But no, this is going to beat it all. I'm going to put some phrases together. You know, you've probably heard the one about I'm going to rip your head off and pee down your neck. I mean, you know, we're going to make those look like little Sunday school rhymes. We are going to make this the most incredibly horrible thing you've ever heard in your life. Because I'm a little tired of them calling here again and again and again and again. Day after day, month after month, year after fucking year. I'm not going to take it anymore. So it's up to you. What do I do with these sons of bitches from Mindspring?
Yeah, that's the
got more balls than all the Democrats in Congress combined. It's Bart Cop Radio.
Strip hater, pack up your mind. Look for what not behind, then you see what you find. I called a sucker dime, cause he thought it could rhyme. And if his mama is a call, her daughter must be a dime. I gotta meet her. Don't take no shots, I don't use a reaper. Ancient, I don't even...